Hello and welcome back to the Direct Line Good Karma podcast. And I said that very slowly because I had a spoonerist moment last time. I'm Dr. Gary Wood, social psychologist and head of karma. And with me again is my co-host, comedian, writer, podcast, blogger, and deputy head of karma.
I am. That's what I've
promoted. Richard Herring.
That's good. Thank you. Nice to be back.
We've been talking a lot about driving, so to clarify, it's karma with a C.
I thought it was karma with a K. We're going to have to redo everything.
And not karma with a K.
Okay. But it's also karma with a K as well, though. It's both.
It is both.
It's like
it is both. It's like two for the price of one,
like
isn't
it? Like a car and a karma. It's clever.
So,
I wish I was the head of it.
Actually, there's a vacancy coming up at the end of this month. Right. The idea of karma just means action.
Yeah.
And I obviously, before we met, I did the old Google and looked at some of your achievements. And the two things I noticed is...
The two achievements.
But they are two massive achievements.
Okay,
number one is that you've kind of been virtually on the road since about 2001.
Yeah.
New show every year.
Yeah.
Incredibly driven. See what I did
good.
There?
That's good.
very feeble, but we'll keep it in. And the other thing is your blog, which I think you started in November 2002, and it's still ongoing.
Yeah, I've done it every day. Well, I've got that sort of obsessive compulsion. It's not like in a negative way. You know, if I start doing something, I'm quite good at carrying on doing it. So, like with the blog, I started doing it, and once you've done it every day for a year, it kind of gets quite hard to stop. And I've done it every, you know, even through holidays and Christmas. But in a way, those are easier to do because more stuff's happening to you. So it's the days where nothing's happening to you.
What's the process?
The idea of it was that, I was struggling with writer's block a little bit when I started doing it. Or just thinking I'm wasting a lot of time where I could be writing. And so I thought, like, if I just do this little exercise where I write about something about the day before every single day, then it's called warming up because it would warm me up for my proper writing. But obviously you do it and go, I've done some writing. I'll knock off. But it's turned out to be a very useful thing because it means you've got this collection of stuff. So when I was doing this podcast, I could put in road rage into the search engine and I got 7 or 8 stories from the last 15 years of times where I've experienced road rage or sat next to someone I thought was Keris Matthews on a plane and she sang road rage, so that one wasn't as useful. But so, you know, so it turns, and it's a useful resource for comedy, but also it was a way of improving at my job of writing. So I hopefully become a better writer. I'm very quick at writing things now because I'll sit down and the process is just to write whatever comes into your head, really, or make a decision quite quickly what you're going to write about and then see what happens. And I think that's, you know, that has probably good repercussions for other jobs and for everything, really, in that you just, it's about getting on with stuff and getting into that kind of schedule where you're doing something every day.
Does it have any kind of cathartic effect, like dealing with stress or...?
Yeah, a little bit. So, you know, like a lot of these things where you go through a terrible experience, you write about it and then... But that's what comedy's about, really. When something bad happens to me, there's a little part of my brain going, this is great.
This is great material.
Because this is a routine coming up. And so, like, one of the things that is a blog and is relevant to this subject is that, earlier in the year, it's very much about that driving in the country. I live on a high street in a village, and everyone's very courteous about letting you through. But one day, there's cars parked all along, so it's a single track, basically, road. So people have to be very polite to each other, and they always are, and nearly every time someone waits for you. And I got to this point where there's a bend in the road, and there was loads of cars parked, so I started along that. And as I got to the end of that row of cars, a scaffolding lorry was coming the other way, saw me, obviously, logically, I mean, it had the right of way because I was on its side of the road, but there was only a single track road. Logically, you wait for me to do the last 3 cars and let me out, but he decided to drive up, so I had to stop and then had this sort of standoff with this guy. It was, you know, very intimidating, these 3 scaffolders going, pulling, making monkey noises at me and all sorts of stuff, and going, back up, back up, back up. And, you know, I knew I'd have to back up 300 yards where they had to back up 20 yards. And my daughter's in the back of the car thinking, this is awful. But I was finding it quite funny, and I was also looking for a scaffolder at the time. And I was also thinking, I was angry with them for humiliating me and when I was in the wrong. And so there's a part of me thinking, I can write about this in my blog. I can also say who they are. I can go on Twitter, say, don't use this this scaffold. This is quite interesting, I think, in terms of processing your rage.
Yeah.
And I wasn't angry. I was finding it funny. And I just backed up into someone's drive and they went past and they thought they'd won. And then, you know, there was that part of me going, right, how do I get... I went back to my wife and said, right, I can go on Twitter, say, you know, don't use these guys. And then my wife said, yeah, but they, you know, they'll work out where you live and they're scaffolders.
They've got scaffolding pipe. Yeah.
I mean, I love scaffolders because they're insane. I mean, you have to be kind of insane to do that job. And I recognise I kind of have an affinity with these guys when I've employed them or met them before. I kind of like them because they have this maverick aspect to them. But I kind of thought, yeah, they might come around and beat me up. But also I kind of calmed down and thought, actually, you know, I'll write a blog about them and I'll write a newspaper article about them. I'll talk about them on the Direct Line podcast. And, you know, I'll claw some money back and also some prestige. Because I sort of knew I was in the right about it. And so that's enough, really, isn't it? But I was cross about it. But that, you know, so that was a very good example of something I thought, well, as it was happening, I was thinking, this is a blog. So that's right. Tomorrow sorted. This could well be a newspaper article. This could well be a stand-up routine. It's, you know, it's about that, because it's that conflict between, you know, a middle-class man and his people carrier with his daughter in the back versus a guy of proper working men who are trying to get to their job. You know, there's a part of me thought, well, actually, I'm so close to my house here, I could just get out the car, put my daughter in the house and leave the car in the road and they won't be able to get anywhere. So you think about all these different methods of revenge you can get. And I thought there's potentially even like a short film or something in this, you know, if you write something about what you might have done or what you wanted to do you know, so you imagine it. So that's a very good example of both all these things we're talking about, but also the way that as a comedian you can use whatever comes. And you know, I can use it as a writer in that way, but it's about taking an incident and repackaging it and taking the anger and putting it in a safer place, you know. And I think those are the things that you all have to consider as you're driving. If you're driving to work and you're going to do your job and someone annoys you in that way, you can't turn up at work and allow that to ruin your presentation or ruin you. You know, you're talking to people on the phone or whatever you're doing. You're in a shop and you're angry with customers. You have to kind of process it in some way and work out how you're going to deal with that.
Like that psychologist John Lydon said, anger is an energy. So that seems to be what you do, is rather than let it seep into and taint every aspect of life, you think, okay, how can I get some mileage out of this?
You know, I think seeing the funny side of stuff is probably useful for everyone. Yeah. And my wife's also a comedian. She doesn't see the funny side of anything in real life. And I'm going, can we just laugh about this?
I'm so sorry for the wife now.
But I, you know, my natural inclination throughout life, and maybe it's not helpful in all situations, is to see the humour in it and to think, you know, at least in a day's time I'm going to find this funny. I was finding that incident quite funny at the time, because I just thought, this is so childish and pathetic, and I feel like I'm back at school being bullied, and I'm a grown man, and you guys are actually wasting more. If you just waited, you'd be half a mile down the road.
Yeah.
So you're wasting your time. It doesn't matter for me. My time is my own. So, you know, I was finding all the funny things in it, and I guess that is a useful way to cope with these things. If you can see the humour in stuff, so I suppose that idea of blogging and being a comedian, I think, is a usable skill for everyone, because you've got a story to tell people, and you've also, if you can see why it's funny, if you're laughing, and even if you can make the other person laugh a bit, we were sort of almost laughing between ourselves about how pathetic it was, you know, then that dissipates any anger. If you're laughing, you can't really be properly angry, but you can use anger as a great way of making comedy. But all emotions, I was mainly about humiliation, that story. And I did feel like belittled by these by these guys, by just their actions of, you know, and they hadn't obeyed the rules, or they decided we're above the rules, or, you know, we've made a difference. But you also think, well, was I wrong? Did I misjudge that? Because it was a long way ago, away where the last place I could have dipped into was to let them by. But, you know, it's very hard to remember really what happened in any situation, especially where you're not concentrating and then you have to concentrate. So they might have, you know, I might have done something wrong, but even so.
They might have a blog.
They might have a blog.
Yeah, I'm going to Google scaffolders' blogs you know that Richard Herring.
I emailed them to say, I bet it was, you know, I suspect you were the guy in the van, but this is how I feel about it. And, you know, so I did. I emailed them, which was a way of getting it. And I said, I'm looking for scaffolders at the moment. So thank you for making this one less scaffolding company that I have to consider. So, you know, I think you can make things work in different ways for you. But I think that, you know, I suppose that for me, I think most things are funny, you know, most, unless something really terrible is happening to you, you can think there's a story in this. If you're not a comedian, if you're a comedian, you can think this is there's something fantastic in it. So it's a weird way, I suppose, my job, you know, if something bad's happening, that's kind of slightly good for me. But I think that can translate into anybody's life.
Yeah, I think there's a good life lesson. I mean, we've been talking a lot about, you know, behaviour on the road and how that has a knock-on effects. And there's a theory of stress that we often think about stress as being kind of big life events that cause us stress.
Yeah.
But it's often those tiny little niddling things kind of they stack up during the day.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we can actually look at all the little hassles and all the little uplifts. And if the hassles outweigh the uplifts, we've had a good day.
Sure, sure.
So what kind of things would you... What would be your absolute pet niggles and how would you overcome them? So what little uplifts would you do to put them?
Oh, it's a difficult question. In terms of driving particularly, I think it's, you know, I think it's the tiredness, I think. You know, it's that kind of... that you think... driving, like, when I'm driving to somewhere, it's usually quite a pleasurable experience. So you drive... When I'm driving, it's the sun...
Anticipation, yeah.
You know, you're not so tired. You know you're going somewhere and you listen to the radio, you're singing along and the sun's shining, you look at the beautiful British countryside usually and think this is lovely. And even if it's bad weather, you go, this is kind of interesting to look at. But on the way back, those are the things, you know, it's that tiredness. It's, yeah, you've done your job and you've got all the, I'm replaying my gig, but you'd be replaying whatever you were doing at your job and the bits that worked, the bits that you're happy with in your daily work. And you, so I suppose on the way back, you're playing all that through your head, which you're not necessarily, I suppose you're looking forward to going to work in some, hopefully in some way, or at least looking forward to what you have to do. But once you've done it and once it's all gone, you're driving back, processing all that. Sometimes you've had a great day and that's enough in itself. But you're tired and you're also doing this extra job of driving. So it's very easy to think that driving is just a pleasure activity or a way to get from A to B. But the more I do my job and the older I get, the more I realise... how hard, you know, what a big part of that job it is. So as a comedian, sometimes you're working in inverted commas for 20 minutes. I usually do longer than that now, but you'll drive somewhere, do 20 minutes and come home.
Yeah.
But you hours. Know, it can be 10 hours drive there and back to get to a gig to do those 20 minutes. So that's your working day. So, you know, it's trying to look at the positive and trying to work. So if I've had a good or bad gig or middling gig, you've got to, you know, I think it's important to process the bad stuff, isn't it? When it's gone wrong, you have to work out why it's gone wrong. So I like that about driving, that you have that time to process.
Yeah.
But what I don't like, I suppose, is just, you know, it's hard. It's kind of hard driving at night and being tired and having, you know, you still have to concentrate on what you're doing.
So if you finish something and you kind of say something hasn't gone very well and you just... Do you have a process by you unwind or do you just jump straight back into the car?
Oh, no, I'll go because you've got to get home, you know, so I'll be in the car. So I'm processing all the time in the car. So sometimes you've had a great gig and then ideas are sort of spiraling out of your head, you know, for new stuff you can do, especially if I'm writing a new show, especially, you know, if I've done a routine, they go, oh, God, you know, so sometimes... It's hard because there's not really any way you can record. You've got to try and think, am I going to remember this when I get home?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you've got your brain's working overtime and you're having all these great thoughts. And you know, sometimes you're just thinking, I wish I was at home. It's that the difficulty is, you know, it's those long drives late at night. You kind of feel like it's taken so long that you wonder whether you've actually died on this journey and this is... You're now in hell and the rest of hell is going to be you just driving home for the rest of eternity and never getting there. So those are the things that are tricky about it, I suppose. But, you know, I think that's, again, it's about seeing that as the positives in the experience, I suppose. And so, you know, using that time to, if you're on your way to work, to prepare for work, to think about what's going on in the back of your mind. I think, again, as a comedian and a writer, the best stuff comes when you're not really... thinking too much about it. So, you know, to come up with a joke, you can't be sitting there going, oh my God, how am I going to do a joke? Well, a joke kind of presents itself to you through your subconscious colliding, you know, two separate thoughts kind of colliding in the back of your mind. So, but I think, you know, so you can, on the way somewhere, you can be thinking about what you're going to do and use your car as a mini office to prepare yourself for whatever your day involves. And on the way back, you can use it as this way to kind of decompress and and work out where what went right and what went wrong. So, you know, on those lonely drives where you're doing it all on your own, that's quite good. But, you know, but also a lot of my job is about switching off, and if I'm being driven, I'll just often just play a computer game in the back of a car because I'm just trying to wipe out everything that's happened.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, you know, you're just trying to and prepare yourself to go to sleep when you're a parent as well, and you kind of... It's a different job once I've I've got kids and I'll be up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I kind of have to think, I have to get ready to sleep, so I have to try and get rid of this adrenaline somehow. So it's, you know, the driving itself presents its own adrenaline, so it's tricky.
Excellent. I'm thinking about when I have to. One of my part of my processes is that when I finish any kind of job, I never get onto any. I mean, I use the bus usually, yeah. But I won't. Get the bus stop straight outside the place. I'll go for a walk.
Right.
So even then, that's my way. I just have to. And sometimes I'm aware that people with 9-to-5 jobs might think, just dive straight into the car.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes good just to have a little bit of space, get rid of that. So it sounds like your process is a lot longer than that.
Yeah, I think so. But it's, you know, but it's a job when you're creating something and you've got to make sure it's good every night and change it every night a little bit. You know, that's you need to somehow, even if, again, I think a lot of it's subconscious, but I need to think through my day. And yeah, it's not like I finish a gig and I jump in a car, I'm gone. There's all sorts of stuff to do in between. Mm. So it's it all works for differently for different people. But as a sort of metaphor, like that gig thing of work is your day at work. If my day at work is 20 minutes long, then I'm looking back and which did, you know, the first half of my day was the first 10 minutes, then it was lunchtime. And, you know, how did those jokes go and how can I improve them? So, yeah, you know, it's the same. It works the same for anyone, but the driving is a tough part of the job and the worst part of the job in a lot of ways. If I could just be teleported to the gigs, I would certainly take that. I wonder if most people would. Would you take, if you could just get to where you were going to go? I mean, the driving's enjoyable, but if you could get or do away with driving, would you?
Well, there's a dilemma. So if we've invented a teleport machine,
yeah.
And what it does is it's recreates every cell in your body,
yeah,
right, and then it puts it into another place, yeah. But the original is totally destroyed.
Yeah,
would you accept that as a form of transport?
No, I wouldn't. No, I'm
why not?
Insane.
It's every cell, everything, everything's there, every neuron,
different
everything.
Me, and he might be evil. The new one might be evil, and I'm good.
The new one,
yeah, the new one that's been created somewhere else.
But it's funny, most people wouldn't take that option, even though you can say every cell, every thought, yeah. Everything's recreated. Most people say they wouldn't.
No, because it's still different. But what if you could be teleported and it was still you and it wasn't a different size? I still think a lot of people would still miss that. It might be bad if you literally could just go wherever you wanted straight away. So if there was any method of transport that could go, right, I can be in Edinburgh in 1 minute, whether that would be actually preferable to you know, having a bit of time. There's a somewhere in between. It would be nice if it was an hour rather than 4 hours.
It'd be horrible if you'd planned this trek to the Amazon.
Yeah,
and when you got there and the Joneses were already there and they'd just done the teleport thing.
Exactly.
It'd be really annoying.
But, you know, so it's I think you got to think of driving in those circumstances in work terms as this little decompression chamber or compression chamber on the way there, maybe, where you're sort of getting ready for what you've got to do. And then I think, again, that helps to make things more positive, I think, if you're getting these annoyances along the way as well. So that's the problem with driving. It's a job, and I do think it's obviously it's literally a job for some people, but it's also it's a job. You know, you've got to be concentrating really hard, exactly in the way you do at work, except that, you know, you're behind the wheel of a lethal weapon that is more dangerous.
It seems to be your process is twofold. Is that one, you seem to be very good at changing the emotion and the feeling into thought, so it's more logical, and also changing the energy from anger into something that's more positive. And also, you've got the prospect of you can make money from the machine.
Yeah, but that's nice. It's nice to make that work. Yeah, and I'm very, you know, I realise how lucky I am. I realise how lucky I am to make a living just talking rubbish into a microphone, but it's that I'm just making up as I go along. It's crazy. But yeah, but I think that's, but it, I think those things are true. It's the positivity, I think, that and I'm luckily, I suppose, I have that. I have a logical brain and I have the ability to step outside myself a little bit, which I think comes with the job. So I'm even when I'm something's happening to me, there's a part of me that's stepping outside and observing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's something that everyone can do to some extent. And I think it's just, and I think a lot of this is about just having a handle on yourself, which I think is most people don't think about themselves as much as a writer or a comedian would.
That's
so
true.
I'm aware of my own foibles. I, in fact, you know, make a living from my own foibles, but also I'm aware that, I think it's that understanding that you obviously feel that you're the most important person in your story, but you're just a person amongst billions of people.
You know, the
they're all making their own way in the world, and that you can be wrong, you know. And I think that's, if, out of all the things we talked about, I think that's probably the most useful thing is to know that you can be in the wrong, that some of the mistakes on the road will be your mistakes. It's not just everyone else screwing up
your life.
And
then some of them won't be your mistakes.
Yeah, but most of them, you know, maybe most of them won't be, but statistically, not everyone can be an above average driver. That's just how statistics work. So I think when you understand logic and you understand, I think that's, it's just positivity, isn't it? And obviously, and comedians are famously meant to be depressive people, and you know, obviously, you're not always able to do it, and you're not always happy, and you don't always go to bed going, "Oh, I've squared everything up, and I've got karma, and it's beautiful." But you know, the more you can do that, the happier you'll be. And I think, you know, those life lessons from your work can be taken to the car, from the car to the work to your relationship, and it's just about trying to keep on top of that as much as you can.
I feel like we're ending on a very deep and philosophical
note.
We're
not, though. It's just a load of guff, but it's, it sounded good.
Don't spoil the illusion.
It sounded good.
That's about all we have time for on this episode of Direct Line's Good Karma podcast. And whatever platform you're listening on, don't forget to like and subscribe. I'm the reigning head of karma, and I'd like to thank my successor.
Oh, wow.
Richard Herring, to add to his many accolades.
Do they pay you well for being the head of karma?
Probably not as well as you.
Oh, okay, all right. I'll do it. I can do it as well as the other stuff.
Yes, you can. I'm sure you. Well, you're the man who does everything, so
I am.
You can fit it into your busy schedule.
I'll stick it in somewhere.
So I've been Gary Wood. You've been Richard Herring. We both still are. And that's it.
Not if we teleport.